Chapter 5.
I've been dancing on top of cars and stumbling out of bars. I'd follow you through the dark, can't get enough. You're the medicine in the pain, the tattoo inside my brain. And baby, you know it's obvious, I'm a sucker for you. Say the word and I'll go anywhere blindly. I'm a sucker for you.
The Council gives Obi-Wan a month to settle in on Mandalore before contacting him with a mission. He's supposed to take Anakin to Thustra in the Expansion region. It's a planet that's been part of the Republic for centuries, but has begun to side more with the Separatist movement that's splitting the galaxy neatly in two. The world's king had apparently been friends with Master Yoda for some 200 years, which is why the old Grand Master agreed to send a pair of Jedi to attempt negotiations when the Senate asked. Obi-Wan is one of the Order's best negotiators, and the fact that Thustra is fairly close to Mandalore makes the assignment an obvious one.
The Senate wants to keep Thustra from seceding,
Mace Windu says, voice crackling just a bit. His face is serious and intent, visible even through the hollow, and Obi-Wan sighs and nods. Understood, he says.
We've forwarded relevant information to your datapad,
Mace continues.
I know this is an unusual mission. There's no treaty to sign here, but the Council's confident in your success. Please try to keep Skywalker from starting any more diplomatic incidents.
I will do my best, Master Windu, Obi-Wan says, appropriately grave, inclining his head and swallowing back the smile threatening to ruin the moment. Do you need anything else?
We'd appreciate more regular updates on your current situation on Mandalore,
Mace says. Twists the words current situation to sound like this is as much a mission as it is whatever it is. Life, perhaps. Obi-Wan just nods. I'll do my best. May the Force be with you, Master.
And with you,
Mace says, before the hollow flickers out. Obi-Wan sighs, stares at the palm-sized holoprojector for a moment, before setting it on the side table by his chair. He'll have to let Cody know first, and then find Anakin and brief him. He appreciates a mission, something like the routine he'd been used to before the revelation that a treaty with Mandalore would require a marriage, but at the same time, it's taken all of the last month to get Cody's advisors somewhat comfortable with him speaking up in meetings, and he's finally allowed to be in the same room as Jack. As long as he doesn't look at the older warrior for too long, or say anything beyond pleasantries, or move too quickly. And being gone for up to a month will... Well, Obi-Wan's just worried it'll set things back. And these are supposed to be his people, for all that Anakin fits in much better here. He's had to scold Anakin a few times already, for letting his emotions get too out of control, and while his Padawan had grumbled and huffed and gone off to meditate, Cody had seemed annoyed, perhaps. It's only to be expected. Jedi teachings and Mandalorian culture are practically the opposite ends of a spectrum, after all. But in any case, he has a mission, so Obi-Wan sighs and pushes himself to his feet and leaves his rooms behind, looking for Cody. It turns out Cody is sprawled on a couch in the library, reading a holonovel of some kind. He glances up from it when Obi-Wan walks over, a smile hovering on his lips. Obi-Wan likes the way Cody's face warms and his eyes brighten when he smiles. He shouldn't notice that so much, but Cody is witty and wry and smart and cares, and his smile is a warm, inviting thing, like a caress. Hey, Obi-Wan, he says, casually, and Obi-Wan returns the smile without a thought. Hello, Cody. I was just contacted by the Council. They have a mission for Anakin and I, and we'll need to leave tomorrow morning. I don't know how long it'll be, but it shouldn't be too bad. He shrugs a bit, dismissive. Cody nods a bit, setting his novel aside.
All right, what sort of thing?
Obi-Wan sighs.
The Senate requested the Jedi send an envoy to Thustra to encourage the planet to remain in the Republic. Apparently, reports say that Thustra's king is considering joining the Separatist movement.
He tucks his hands behind his back, presses his lips together.
This isn't exactly the most vague mission he's ever received, but it's close.
Encourage them, though, Cody says, amused, not quite laughing, and Obi-Wan snorts.
That's how the Senate apparently worded it when asking the Council. I was also told to keep Anakin from causing another diplomatic incident, but honestly, Obi-Wan smiles, wry, I'm not superhuman.
Well, he pauses, considering. I suppose technically the Force augments my abilities enough that by all technicalities I'd be considered superhuman, but... He stops, because Cody is almost laughing at him, and he rubs a hand across his beard and sighs. In any case, he says, a bit sheepish. Sometimes keeping Anakin from causing incidents is a lost cause.
Cody laughs, for real this time.
It's a nice laugh, full and rich. Grins.
Somehow I knew that.
Obi-Wan laughs himself.
It's really not that surprising. In any case, I'll keep you updated on the time frame.
And as much as he'd like to stay and continue talking, I need to go brief Anakin and prepare.
Cody nods. Be careful then, Obi-Wan, he says, picking his novel back up, and Obi-Wan nods.
I will. Cody hadn't thought he would really miss Obi-Wan. Certainly, he's gotten used to the Jedi being around, gotten used to him being at dinner and meetings and around the library, and is fairly confident that he can consider Obi-Wan a friend. Always good to be friends with Yuri Duer. All the same, he had assumed that briefly going back to the usual status quo would be simple, perhaps more uncomplicated. Instead, it's no longer normal. It's strange leaving his room for breakfast and not seeing Obi-Wan's door open, and not finding Obi-Wan downstairs attempting to offer help to some of the servants. Cody certainly doesn't admit this to anyone, least of all Rex, but it reminds him somewhat of being younger, when his buoy was around more between assignments, and every time he left for a mission, Cody would have to get used to life minus someone important to him. Funny how quickly he has grown used to Obi-Wan. Strange, almost. Still, after the first couple of days, everything is fine enough. Despite the fact that he does, somehow, miss Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan comes each day to inform him, loosely, of their progress, and Cody appreciates the regularity. It's something to look forward to, almost, and a way to know that everything's going well. For about 5 days, he makes do with that, brief comms with Obi-Wan in between his other responsibilities. But then, on the 6th day since Obi-Wan left, there's no calm. Cody assumes, for the time being, that it's merely a delay. But he considers what he should do if something has happened to Obi-Wan, to deal with the pinch of worry. He doesn't know much about Thustra or Obi-Wan's mission, but should it become necessary, he expects he'll have to go get his Redu'er JT mission or no. He tells Rex about the new development, and Rex tells him he's sure Obi-Wan will be fine.
He seems tough for a skinny JT.
Rex says. Cody rolls his eyes at him, but Rex isn't wrong. He's sure that Obi-Wan will have things handled, whatever is going on.
As a couple days pass without further word or news from Obi-Wan, however, Cody can't help being worried. He wants his husband to be all right, and he doesn't know when he should be worried enough to interfere. Rosan advises him to wait, most particularly since this is a Jedi and Republic issue that Obi-Wan is meant to be dealing with. So Cody does wait. Before it becomes too concerning, however, he gets a calm during supper, which, when he answers it, is Obi-Wan. Cody hadn't expected to be so relieved to hear his voice.
I apologize for the lack of communication. I'm afraid we had some difficulties,
Obi-Wan explains, sounding entirely too casual about it.
He fits in with the Mandalorians, Cody thinks, if that's his attitude about being kept from coming for half a week.
We should be home in 2 or 3 days.
Cody's glad to hear it. He has to tell Obi-Wan about what he and his advisors have been discussing. It's been decided that they'll attempt to find a way to get an informant inside Vizsla's clan. Cody and Ursa and Kato have been suggesting they choose someone among their own to go join Prey, rather than trying to sway someone who may simply turn around and tell Prey what they're doing. Cody wants Obi-Wan's input on the issue. Additionally, they're discussing sending people to scout out Concordia, as it seems that's where Prey has set up operations for the time being. Still, Cody must admit to having none of this in mind when he goes to meet Obi-Wan and Anakin returning to the palace. Anakin looks a bit singed and exceedingly grumpy, and Obi-Wan himself is a bit ruffled, his robes out of place, and Cody quickly catalogues something wrong and stiff about Obi-Wan's shoulder, although the Jedi himself looks only mildly put out. Cody walks up to both of them, nods his head. Obi-Wan, Anakin, you seem to have misplaced yourselves somewhat. What happened? Obi-Wan sighs long-sufferingly and says, Everything went perfectly fine until the Thustran King decided to attempt to have us assassinated, blew up our ship, and forced us to gallivant through the countryside on a nice scenic scramble to evade death. He sighs again, shaking his head, and Cody smiles a bit. Ah, just a bit of excitement then, he says, nodding. I'm glad you're back. I'd been contemplating whether I should make rescue plans when I got your comm.
Indeed, Obi-Wan says, chuckling,
and Cody gestures for him to walk with him to their rooms, checking over Obi-Wan's shoulder again. Maybe they should head back for the medical wing first thing, to make sure he's all right. Unless I'm out of contact for over a week, you shouldn't need rescue plans. Usually it's just unsafe for me to use my comm.
I assumed as much. You didn't miss much, frankly. Just some more meetings.
Cody smiles, nods at him.
What'd you do to your shoulder?
Blast of fire. It's minimal and will heal up in a few days. I've got a bacta patch on it and it's been wrapped. Obi-Wan says, sighing.
Do you want to see my doctors, or did someone look at it already? Somebody besides yourself, I mean.
Anakin looked it over for me. Cody shoots a dubious look at Anakin, who's currently picking at a burnt place on his robe with an irritated expression on his face, and then looks back at Obi-Wan.
No offense to you, Anakin, but I think obtaining a second opinion would make sense.
Obi-Wan shakes his head slightly. As I said, it'll heal up in a few days. It's fine. The way Anakin looks at him, distinctly disapproving, would say otherwise.
I'm sure it will.
Cody folds his hands behind his back and smiles.
All the same, someone with more experience than you should decide about that.
That won't be necessary.
He's bad at actually going to doctors,
Anakin interrupts, matter of fact, with an almost conspiratorial look.
You'll probably have to drag him.
Anakin, Obi-Wan says, crossing his arms and then wincing.
Well, I can certainly manage that, Cody says, mostly kidding, and putting a hand on Obi-Wan's good shoulder. Unfortunately, I insist.
Obi-Wan huffs irritably. Fine. Of course, I'd love to see your doctor.
Cody smiles at him, innocently, and steers him forward a little faster.
Excellent! That's a very wise decision.
Anakin laughs. Cody's glad someone besides him finds this amusing.
Obi-Wan is quite all right, thank you very much. He does not need to see a doctor.
I have, he says conversationally, as Cody gently but firmly guides him along through the warm, light hallway. Survived many a mission with just Anakin's field medicine and what healing I could do. Healing oneself is always more difficult than healing another, but all the same. Cody makes an interesting little noise, sounding distinctly unimpressed.
How fortunate that won't be necessary this time.
You're insufferable, Obi-Wan mutters under his breath, tucking his arms behind him, and deliberately stifles the wince. His shoulder is still sore, and he hasn't been taking pain meds, preferring to keep his thoughts clear. This is hardly the first time I've been shot, Cody, and I have survived thus far without complications.
Cody huffs out an irritated breath. Obi-Wan, that has little bearing on whether medical attention is necessary.
Ever so helpfully, Anakin interjects.
He'll argue this with you all afternoon if you let him, Cody.
Anakin, Obi-Wan says again.
What? It's true. You're terrible about this. Just let your husband fuss and quit complaining.
He is not complaining, thank you very much.
I like Anakin's idea, Cody says wryly.
Obi-Wan thinks he's being ganged up on.
For the record, he says, I am not complaining. You are, but that's perfectly all right, his husband says.
And the little twist to his smile makes Obi-Wan suspicious even before he finishes the last half of his statement.
Lots of people are afraid of visiting the doctors.
Anakin is laughing.
Cody, Obi-Wan snaps, in the tone reserved for the worst of Anakin's shenanigans, and which his Padawan definitely recognizes, given the increase in laughter.
I am not. That is, he stops, swears to himself, rubs at his forehead, and finally, with much finality, pronounces, Mir-Osik.
Cody simply laughs, grinning warm and fond.
The truth is hard to accept sometimes, Obi-Wan.
Criffing, insufferable, smug, idiot. Obi-Wan's eyes flicker down to Cody's lips for just a heartbeat before he regains control back, staring straight ahead and doesn't deign to look at either of his two companions. Anakin is still wheezing from laughter, and Cody's eyes are far too bright right now.
I am not speaking to you, he informs Cody, and for some reason this makes Anakin laugh harder.
Obi-Wan didn't know that was possible.
Real mature master,
he gasps out. Obi-Wan straightens his shoulders.
Oh, that hurts.
And walks forward and resolves to ignore both of them. The resolution doesn't last long, of course. Once they arrive at the palace's private medical wing, they're met by a middle-aged woman with a severe bun and neat scrubs, a name tag pronouncing her to be Baror Michaela Vevut. She takes one look at Obi-Wan, marks his shoulder immediately, surprising him, although perhaps it shouldn't, and points at an examination table.
Sit down, sir.
Obi-Wan considers arguing, glances over at Cody, who is lightly nudging him forward by his uninjured shoulder, and decides to sit down. Baror Vevut is businesslike and brisk, but she's gentle as she helps Obi-Wan pull his tunic and tabard over his head, revealing the fairly neat bandaging job and the back-to-patch.
How long ago was this done?
She asks, starting to unwind the bandages, and Obi-Wan frowns, looking over at Anakin for help.
3 days?
He shrugs his good shoulder.
Something like that,
Anakin agrees.
He can feel the doctor's sigh. Back to patches should be changed daily for best effect, I know, Obi-Wan says. We didn't have time or the extra supplies.
A poor excuse, she grumbles, and then, without warning, rips the back to patch off. Obi-Wan tenses and swears through the pain, glares at Anakin, who looks far too amused, doesn't look over at Cody, sure he'll see a similar expression on his face. I wouldn't call it an excuse, he says mildly, but it certainly is a reason. They're always careful with their emergency medical supplies. After all, you never know when you might need them for a much more severe injury than a simple blaster wound to the shoulder. Cody knows that he should probably be focused on Obi-Wan's injury, or Barura Vivet's evaluation, but he can't help a bit of distraction owing to an unlikely dusting of freckles on Obi-Wan's shoulders and a few rough scars elsewhere. One scar, like a starburst from a blaster bolt, stands out pale against the skin of Obi-Wan's abdomen, and Cody wants to know where it came from, what had happened. It's evident that Obi-Wan has not lived a quiet life. Equally evident that it suits him well. Cody forces himself to refocus and drags his eyes back to Obi-Wan's soft blue eyes. He doesn't think Obi-Wan noticed his lapse in attention, which he's grateful for. Anakin, on the other hand, gives him a smug look. It doesn't really matter what you call it, Barura Vivet says briskly. I'll rebandage it, and I expect you to either come back every day or, she glances at Cody, have someone make sure you're taken care of. Cody nods sagely, as if he's been listening very closely. He's begun to get the idea that Obi-Wan's not particularly consistent about receiving medical attention, which he doesn't approve of. Of course, Obi-Wan says, and Cody huffs slightly and gives him a look. Do you mean that? He asks mildly, lips quirking up slightly.
No.
Anakin answers.
I'm shocked, Cody shakes his head, disappointedly. Lying to the Barur and your Redur, Obi-Wan. Unbelievable. I'm not lying, Obi-Wan says, giving Anakin a scolding look, which doesn't convince Cody in the slightest.
He just shakes his head again. Anakin raises his eyebrows, pleased with himself.
Oh, of course. Just like every other time you weren't lying.
Well, Barura Vivet says, looking mildly amused. I'm sure you will keep him on track, Duke Fett. Cody nods, politely, trying not to look too smug and undoubtedly failing. Of course. That's part of my job. Obi-Wan just mutters incoherently, while Vivet cleans the partially healed blaster wound in his muscled shoulder and sets about rebandaging it. Cody laughs at him a little, which garners no more than an injured look from Obi-Wan. Unfortunately, the result is that then everyone is quiet, which makes him a touch uncomfortable suddenly. His eyes wander to Obi-Wan's scars and freckles again, of their own accord, and he tightens his crossed arms over his chest and studiously drops his gaze to the floor. He has enough on his mind without this being a problem, too. Wanting more than he can have. Barura Vivet tapes off the last of Obi-Wan's bandages, gives his shoulder a once-over, then nods once. That should do it. Try not to use the shoulder for much until it's better. No need to aggravate it for no reason. Of course. Obi-Wan picks up his tunic and carefully pulls it on. Cody tries not to be disappointed, wincing a bit. Thank you, Barur. Vivet just shakes her head a bit and smiles slightly, says,
You're welcome, in a tone that says she's found this whole experience a bit tiresome. Maybe because Obi-Wan is a Dekut.
As they leave the medical wing, Cody keeps himself from putting a hand on Obi-Wan's shoulder again, instead folding his hands behind his back, and teasing him some more about his inability to deal with doctors. Obi-Wan pretends to ignore him and Anakin. But Cody can tell he's irritated, which amuses him more than it should. When they get to Obi-Wan's rooms, the Jedi says that he's tired and needs a shower, and Cody smiles and tells him to enjoy his day off before they're back to meetings. He doesn't mention the 3 more potted plants he personally put in Obi-Wan's rooms while he was gone. The next day is, as Cody had warned him it would be, meetings. The morning is nice and relaxed, though. Apparently, Riska is decidedly not a morning person and refuses to show up to any meeting scheduled before 11, which has resulted in most meetings being scheduled after lunch. This doesn't bother Obi-Wan in the slightest. He appreciates the time to sit and meditate, to take care of his plants, including the newest ones that showed up while he was gone, apparently. Cody's overdoing himself. To meet Cody, Rex, Boba, and Anakin in the library for breakfast. It's nice. Feels like normalcy, even though this is a routine they've only had for around a month. It could be dangerous, he thinks, letting himself get used to this. He almost doesn't care. Almost. In any case, after a late breakfast, he and Anakin take some time for training purposes. Then later in the afternoon, he leaves Anakin talking excitedly with some of the warriors in the training grounds and heads inside to meet Cody. The meeting is apparently to further discuss what to do about Vizsla. Obi-Wan knows he's missed some discussion on the subject. Cody had brought him up to speed over breakfast. All the same, there are a few housekeeping items gone through first before Rusan sighs and says, "We need to finalize our plans for infiltrating Vizsla's household." Agreed, Ursa says, steepling her fingers together and frowning a bit. We need to send someone we know we can trust not to fall into Vizsla's rhetoric. It's not that hard, Riska says, uncrossing and recrossing her feet on the table.
Just send one of us.
I doubt he'd believe any of you trying to defect, Cody says, wry.
Especially not you, Riska.
Obi-Wan snorts at the injured look on her face.
I'm a great actor, Your Highness. I don't know what you're talking about, she says, grinning.
Before anyone can respond to that, though, Bo-Katan clears her throat.
What about me?
She says, flat. For a moment, everyone's quiet. Then Cody leans forward, smiling conspiratorially.
I guess you wouldn't have to fake disagreeing with me. I'm not sure. Do you think you'd believe it?
I would,
Kato mutters under his breath, stabs his vibroblade into the table for emphasis.
Asshole, Riska says.
As much as I am loath to say it, Obi-Wan sighs, she does have a point. He leans forward a bit, meets Bo-Katan's eyes. Your dislike of me makes you more convincing and gives you a common ground with Prey.
Exactly, the redhead says coolly, inclining her head. As for the rest, I can make him believe it.
Alec narrows his eyes behind his glasses.
Don't be overconfident, he says,
not quite sharply.
I'm not, Bo-Katan says simply. I think you're right, Bo-Katan, Cody says. As long as you are careful, I think you could do it. Is it all right with everyone if we go ahead with this plan?
I'm in, Riska says cheerfully.
I agree, Rusan says, nodding. And so it goes around the table, until everyone's agreed, and they move on to the next topic of discussion. Apparently, said topic is sending someone to scout out Concordia.
It would be beneficial, Rusan says, if we could learn what exactly Vizsla is doing.
Alec pushes his glasses higher up on his nose and nods.
It'd let us plan more efficiently.
Obi-Wan nods, thoughtful, strokes his beard for a minute and considers.
If you need someone to scout, I believe my particular skill set could be useful, he says. The Force can be used for, among other things, concealment. A subtle touch to convince a person that what they see is not there, nothing, not important. He's not sure they trust him enough for this yet, but he hopes they do. It's a good suggestion, and he knows he could evade Vizsla's men. Cody notes the way his advisors exchange looks at Obi-Wan's suggestion, and Kato grunts disapprovingly and stabs the table again. Probably so, he says. Not sure this should be your job, Your Highness. Cody smiles a little and says, Actually, Kato, I would like to consider this idea. He is correct, the Force would presumably be helpful. And this scouting trip is important enough, I think, to warrant his involvement. Too important, maybe, Bo-Katan grumbles, almost to herself. Enough, Bo-Katan. Rusan's voice is firm as stone. Your position is understood. She leans forward, hands flat on the table they're gathered around, and looks straight at Obi-Wan. You have done this sort of thing before. Obi-Wan folds his hands. I am hardly unfamiliar with sneaking around, he says mildly, as if it's a ridiculous question. The amount of missions I've been on where stealth was necessary is quite a decent number. Rusan nods shortly. And you could adequately collect information and report it back, I'm sure, if we were... She ignores a look from Bo-Katan. To send you? Obi-Wan snorts and smiles a little. I've been in active combat zone since I was 13. I do believe I know what to look for. He pauses, then says more seriously. To more simply answer your question, yes, I could. Excellent. I think perhaps it would be wise for you to have a partner, especially since you're not as familiar with our culture. And it may ease some of our minds. Rusan glances sharply at some of the others, and Elik makes a smug face at Riska, who rolls her eyes. Cody nods, slowly, then leans back and says, I agree. I believe, in fact, that this might be important enough that I should go. He ignores everyone's expressions for the moment, looking at Obi-Wan instead. This is something of a personal issue as well as a public one for me, and it's been a while since I've taken on any missions. Kato frowns thoughtfully and shakes his head. Don't know if this would be worth your time, he says frankly. I doubt it'll take long, and you all are perfectly capable of managing, I'm sure, Cody says. And in any case, I think it seems appropriate that I go with my Redur. That's true. Ursa twists a loose strand of hair behind her ear with quick fingers and shakes her head. If you think this is the best way to handle this, then we may as well proceed. Sounds like fun, Obi-Wan says, smiling just a little, and Cody chuckles. Riska nods approvingly, and Elik is giving Cody an odd look, suspiciously knowing, which Cody doesn't really understand. He chooses not to bring it up and tells them he and Obi-Wan will still make plans and keep them updated. From there, they move on to a discussion of the budget, because they have been attempting to decide what funds to allot to education and trade. Cody leaves the meeting with Elik and Riska, as it's been a little while since they've all had a drink. They go to the storage cellar and Elik collects slightly dusty clay mugs from the shelves to fill for them. Riska sits down on a wine barrel, Cody drags over a crate, and Elik ends up cross-legged on the floor after passing around their mugs brimming with ale. Riska sips hers and sighs irritably.
Curfing meetings,
she pronounces decisively. Sometimes I regret being an advisor for you, Cody.
Sure you do, he grumbles, grinning. You know you're good at it.
Doesn't mean I like listening to Rusan lecture all the time.
I think she thinks I'm going to ruin all our traditions.
Probably because you are,
Alec mutters into his mug, grouchily.
You can't even sit right at meetings.
If you bring that up one more goddamn time, Alec Rook, I'm going to break your glasses.
Oh yeah?
Because you haven't tried that already?
Cody pinches his nose and shakes his head.
Guys, I swear, every time we do this...
It's not my fault, Alec says. You literally started it!
Riska swears under her breath and crosses her arms, then gives Cody a smirking look and says,
So, Birkia, how's it going with your redoer?
Cody shrugs.
You know, fine, I guess. Both of them look at him flatly for a moment, eyes unimpressed. And Alec circles his hand meaningfully.
Come on, it's gotta be more than fine, I guess, to make you want to go on a solo mission with him,
he points out, as if it's obvious to everyone but Cody.
It's just a practical decision, Alec, Cody says, sighing. Someone had to go along or you all weren't going to trust him, and I'll get it better than him.
Yeah, we got that part, Riska interrupts cheerfully.
They're not bad reasons, Cody, we're not saying that. But Alec is right for once. What's up? You wanting some proper alone time with your redoer?
Cody shakes his head irritably and sighs again, taking a long sip of his ale.
If I did, which I don't, I wouldn't pick a scouting mission to get it. You do realize you're not going to get any interesting stories out of this marriage, given that my husband's a Jedi.
I don't really see the problem, Riska says glibly. You think he's hot. Objectively, you're hot. And you two are married. I'm not judging you for wanting some time away from everybody. Neither is Alec.
She kicks out in Alec's direction, and Alec rolls his eyes.
Right?
Right,
Alec says. He smiles a little, pushes up his glasses, and leans his elbows on his knees.
I bet you guys will have fun.
Cody rubs his forehead with one hand, trying not to be unduly annoyed. Sure, Obi-Wan is hot.
And sure, there are times he wouldn't mind his fair share of alone time with his husband. But that's not what this mission is for, and he doesn't expect anything out of it, whatever his friends say. And in any case, he doesn't really want that. Just because he appreciates Obi-Wan and finds him attractive doesn't actually mean he needs anything out of this relationship other than what they have now.
Leave off, Cody says, with no heat behind the words. You're both goddamn zdecute. I'm not interested in discussing my non-existent love life with you. After all, there's no point.
Anakin's reaction to the news of the scouting mission is, well, it's predictable.
Master! He gasps, mock surprised. Are you going on a mission alone with him?
Obi-Wan sighs, rubs at his temples, and folds the last shirt, neatly tucks it into his pack, and slings it over his shoulders.
Honestly, Anakin, he mutters, rolls his eyes a bit. Yes, I'm going on a mission with him. No, it doesn't mean anything.
He can practically feel Anakin rolling his eyes.
Well, you are married,
his Padawan says smugly.
You're allowed to want to go on trips alone with your husband, get some alone time. It's all very romantic.
Anakin!
What?
Just stay out of trouble while I'm gone.
Obi-Wan says with a tired sigh, heading to the door of his rooms.
Honestly, he doesn't even know why Anakin's in here. He has his own room.
Think you can manage that, my dear Padawan?
I don't know, Master,
Anakin says, thoughtful, tilting his head to one side.
That sounds pretty difficult.
Obi-Wan sighs again and shakes his head, pushes the door open.
Then I'll make it more simple, he says, glancing back over his shoulder with emphasis.
Don't do anything that'll get me in trouble.
Fine,
Anakin grumbles.
You're no fun, Master.
Obi-Wan doesn't even dignify that with an answer. Just strides out of his room. He has to meet Cody on the ship they're taking to Concordia in 5 minutes anyway.
Don't let my plants die,
he admonishes. Feels a grudging agreement in response. After all, he likes his plants, and it'd be a shame to have to ask Cody for more. When he gets out to the private landing platform behind the palace, Cody is loading the last of their supplies into their ship. He looks over when Obi-Wan walks up, tosses him a loose salute.
Hey, Obi-Wan. Ready to go?
As I'll ever be, Obi-Wan says, nodding. I told Anakin how to take care of the plants. Hopefully he listens. He's not, very good with them. Cody chuckles, stepping up into the ship's ramp. Obi-Wan follows him.
If all else fails, I can always get you some more.
Obi-Wan smiles a bit sheepishly, rubs the back of his neck briefly before dropping his pack down with the rest of their supplies.
I suppose so, he says.
Not that he'd ask. Do we have any points of interest to scout out?
I'm not sure, Cody says,
and Obi-Wan nods.
Bo-Katan is going to keep us updated as we get into contact with Vizsla.
I've been doing some research on Concordia, he says. It used to be a mining colony, correct? That would imply there are old abandoned mines and digging sites we could take a look around. If Vizsla is trying to hide anything, that seems like a good place to.
Yes, that ought to be a good starting point, Cody says, sitting down in the pilot's chair in the cockpit and initiating the startup sequence.
Obi-Wan takes the co-pilot's seat, watches Cody's hands as they move over the controls, practiced and easy.
Cody has nice hands.
And that has nothing to do with anything, and he needs to focus.
This should be fairly simple,
he says, stroking his beard thoughtfully.
As long as we avoid notice, that is.
They continue to discuss the strategy of their scouting mission through the short flight to the moon.
It shouldn't be more than a week or two long of a mission, Cody says,
and Obi-Wan agrees.
The moon is small, and there can only be so many points of interest for them to scout out.
As long as Bo-Katan comes through, this should be simple,